Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, August 19th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from the Bariatric Program at Adirondack Health, Saranac Lake, offering weight loss surgery and lifestyle education. Better health, better lives. AdirondackHealth.org. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday is Dr. Sonny Intwala. He is a cardiologist with New Vance Health, practicing at the Heart Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. He specializes in advanced cholesterol management, sports cardiology, and cardiac rehabilitation. Lots of calls, a regular thing on Medical Monday, so I advise you to call early, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Sonny Intwala and your heart calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us on this Medical Monday is Dr. Sonny Intwala of New Vance Health, a cardiologist at the Heart Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. He specializes in advanced cholesterol management, sports cardiology, and cardiac rehabilitation. Dr. Intwala is board certified in internal medicine, general cardiology, echocardiography, and nuclear cardiology, a graduate of Brown Medical School in Rhode Island. His most recent research examined the impact of stress testing prior to non-cardiac surgery and pre-participation screenings in collegiate athletes. Our number, if you have a question today, is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number on this program, a call-in show, 800-348-2551. Dr. Intwala, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll start with this. What distinguishes advanced cholesterol management from regular run-of-the-mill cholesterol management?
Great. That's a wonderful question. So when you go to your primary care doctor, they usually draw a set of labs, and usually some of them come back high, and you get placed on a medication, usually either a statin medication or something else. And you then follow up, and if your cholesterol levels remain high despite these medications, then the next step would be to see a cardiologist or an advanced lipid doctor.
Okay. And what would that advanced doctor do?
Sure. Great question. So right now we have statin therapies, different statin regimens, and some folks have different side effect profiles to them. They're switched on to several medications, and they're still their lipid levels are still high.
Mm-hmm.
And so you then get referred to a cardiologist, and if you are treated with the correct statin medication and it's working for you and you're cholesterol levels are still high, there are certain other medications called PCSK9 inhibitors or more advanced therapies that your cardiologist can initiate if it's the right medication for you.
What about exercise?
Exercise is number one, two, and three. That should be exercise and diet are the mainstays of therapy, and that is what I lead off with all the time with all my patients.
What specifically about exercise will lower your cholesterol?
Sure. So as you exercise, you lower your blood pressure and you decrease your weight, and that reduces the amount of fats that are circulating in your body, and that will bring your cholesterol levels down.
Exercising, then you lose weight and you can reduce the amount of... In other words, the perception is you have cholesterol there. It's tough to remove it. I don't know exactly what statins do to change your bad cholesterol or triglycerides, but just the act of exercising and losing weight will lower your lipids.
Correct.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Dr. Sonny Intwala of New Vance Health. And if you have a question about cardiology, what is echocardiography, by the way?
Just an ultrasound of the heart, taking pictures of the heart, valves, and seeing how well your heart is functioning.
And what do you learn now? You're one of the experts in this. What can we learn from looking at an echocardiogram?
Sure. You could learn how well your heart is squeezing. You can learn about heart valves, heart conditions, and it really just gives you an overall picture of your heart health.
What can't we learn?
What can't you learn? That's a great question. Just taking a look at an ultrasound of the heart, taking pictures of the heart, we usually can't tell what happens when someone's heart rate goes up, what happens to their blood pressures, and so you need an exercise stress test for that. And now you can also do a stress echocardiogram where you're actually, hooked up to EKG leads, you're exercising, you're monitoring your heart rate, your blood pressure, and then get an ultrasound of the heart to see how your heart responds to exercise.
Your most recent research is on the impact of stress testing prior to non-cardiac surgery. Explain to me why you would want to take a stress test before non-cardiac surgery.
That's a wonderful question. So if you are going to undergo a procedure that's moderate to high risk, depending on the type of surgery, and you're unable to exercise or you haven't seen a doctor in a very long time, any concerning symptoms of chest pain, pressure, or if a doctor doesn't know how much you can exercise and what happens when you exercise. Because the whole point of doing a stress test before you undergo a procedure is to make sure your heart is okay and that you can get through the procedure. Our main goal is to make sure that your heart is optimized before you go into that surgery, so that surgery can be performed without any significant complications.
Do some patients ask for this without needing it?
Yes, they do.
Why do they do that?
Because, we have Google and...
Do you despise the internet as much as many doctors do?
No, I actually don't despise the internet because it shows to me that patients care about their health and they're looking things up, and rightfully so. They're bringing up really good points and questions. Now, I've gone back and forth with my patients, and sometimes they'll Google in the office what I tell them, and we'll keep going back and forth. I think a lot of us physicians we've gone through a lot of training, and so there's a lot of information out there, and our job is to consolidate that information and make sure that patients are getting the best treatment.
It annoys you, though, at times, does it not, when someone says, I think you're wrong, doctor. I have ailment B. You say it's A.
Yes.
Yes.
Most definitely. I think, with my patients, usually we have a shared decision-making model. And so if patients really feel strongly, I will try to meet them in the middle and explain to them. There have been certain times where I've spent more than 30 minutes doing so, and it is difficult at times.
You're an extremely diplomatic person. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined today by Dr. Sunny Antwala on this Medical Monday, and we go to Laura in New Paltz. Laura, you're on.
Hi, good day. Thank you for taking my call. I just have two quick questions. The first one is, other than statins, I was wondering what else you can recommend to lower cholesterol. And in my particular case, I've been a vegetarian for 45 years. I haven't had meat or dairy in 45 years, so I know that's not making my cholesterol high. So I was wondering what other herbs or foods or natural remedies would lower the cholesterol. And the second part of the question is, I've heard from others that your brain is made out of cholesterol, and actually statins aren't good for you because they take the cholesterol out of your body, and down the road people get like dementia because you're taking all the cholesterol out that your brain needs to function. And I was wondering what your thoughts are about whether or not the body actually needs cholesterol as opposed to doesn't need cholesterol.
All right, so these are two good questions, Laura. All right, doctor, what do you think?
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much for your question, Laura. Let me first address your concerns about statin medications affecting your memory, because our brain cells do use cholesterol. From all of the randomized control trials that we have, and the randomized control trials are basically the best evidence that we have, do not show any evidence of having any brain dysfunction, memory loss, or anything like that with statin therapy. And so there's been several trials taking a look at this specifically, setting up patients, giving them memory tests, and seeing several years out if statin medications have affected folks' memories or, in terms of, as you mentioned, dementia. There's been no randomized control trial evidence to support that.
There's a lot of that on the internet if you look around.
Yes, there is.
All right. And the first part of Laura's question.
So the first part of your question. So it's wonderful that you have a vegetarian diet. I think one of the best diets that has been shown to reduce your cholesterol is the vegan diet. So it's wonderful that you've been sticking to a vegetarian diet. Making sure that you're exercising is very important. And outside of that, if your doctor has you on a good regimen of a statin medication, the next step would be ezetimibe. That is another medication that can be reduced that can be prescribed to reduce your LDL cholesterol.
Now, is this is in a different class than a statin?
Correct.
And what is the primary difference here?
The primary difference, so ezetimibe, so what we've shown over the past, 30, 40 years is that the lower your LDL cholesterol,
that's the bad cholesterol.
The bad cholesterol, the better it is, okay? Regardless of what cholesterol level that you start at, for every 40 points that you reduce your cholesterol level, you have a 20% relative risk reduction in having heart events over the next 4 to 5 years.
Interesting. But now, is there specific evidence, and thank you, Laura, for the call, is there specific evidence that says statin use and lowering cholesterol from that prolongs lives and limits cardiac events?
Yes. So in the 1980s, the first statin medication was lovastatin. And since that time, there were several different types of statin medications that came out. So a group got together called the Cholesterol Treatment Trialist. And their main goal was to come up with basically a consensus by writing a meta-analysis, which is the strongest publication that we have and evidence that we have to support the use of statin medications. And so they got together in 1994, and in 2005 they had their first publication where they showed in 90,000 patients for every 40 points that you reduced your cholesterol, you had a 20% relative risk reduction in major cardiovascular events. And then in 2010, they updated that, and they found, again, for every 40 points that you reduced your LDL cholesterol, regardless of what LDL cholesterol you started at, you had a 20% relative risk reduction in major cardiovascular events.
Dr. Sunny Intwala is our guest, and statins first hit the scene when?
1980s.
All right, let's talk about that in a minute. Sure. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Medical Monday. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Medical Monday. Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551. Joined today by Dr. Sunny Intwala of Nuvance Health, the Heart Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute and a couple of emails here. But going back to our first caller, or one of our first callers, Laura, who talked about statins and you know, you hear about these negative health effects and possibly leading to cognitive difficulties down the road. You mentioned before we hit the break that statins started on the scene here in the mid-80s, so maybe 30, 35 years, right? Yeah. Is it long enough? Is 35 years long enough to establish conclusively that statins don't do that, don't lead to possible dementia down the road?
I would say we have all of the randomized control evidence that we have to date from the 1980s onwards, and it's a lot of data suggests that there are no negative effects on the brain from statin therapy. Now, since that time, there's a stronger, more potent version of a statin called PCSK9 inhibitors. And we know that, and these have just come out a few years ago, the safety and efficacy data from those 3-4 years out with LDL cholesterol of, this medication reduces your LDL cholesterol to about 25. Those trials have not shown any negative effects on the brain from having your LDL cholesterol that low. Now, we are born with an LDL cholesterol of around 35. So reducing your LDL cholesterol to about 25 has not shown any negative effects. And for statin therapy, we've shown that if your LDL cholesterol is around 40, that, again, has not shown any negative side effects in terms of memory, dementia, et cetera.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Dr. Sunny Antwala of New Vance Health in Poughkeepsie. Two emails here, doctor, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one came in from an unnamed person, but this person wants to know about statins. And they write, I've tried several cholesterol medications. I ended up being allergic to one and getting really bad aches and pains with the others. I tried CoQ10, but the pain continued. Should I keep trying medication or do something else? I've adjusted my diet and I work out a few times a week. And that is from unnamed.
All right. Well, it's wonderful that they have a great exercise regimen and diet profile. And, you know, I think it's very important and personalized for each patient. So before I start any medication on any statin medication, I ask all my patients, what muscle aches and pains do you have? And I list them down and I jot them down. The problem is, and we've shown in the cholesterol treatment trial list, you know, that big study of 90,000 and 140,000 patients, have shown when you give patients a placebo, a salt tablet, and you give them statins, about, you know, let's say 30,000 in each group, you ask patients, you know, do you feel muscle aches and pains? About 30% of patients in the statin group said that they had muscle aches or pains. 30% in the placebo group also said that they had muscle aches and pains. So it's important to really think about what muscle aches and pains that you have, because it's very easy when you start taking a tablet to focus in on the muscle aches and pains that you have.
Yeah, and the older you are, the more muscle aches and pains you're likely to have.
Yes.
But what is it about a statin that could cause muscle aches and pains?
Sure. So there are certain medications. Simvastatin is one of those medications, 80 milligrams, which the FDA no longer recommends in older patients. What it can do is it can cause high levels of a muscle enzyme to build up and cause your muscle to be really inflamed. So I always tell my patients, listen, if you're having severe muscle aches and pains, stop the statin medication and come see me. We will then perform a test and we'll figure out if there's another medication that is better for you.
Dr. Sunny Antwala is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Linda in Corinth. Linda, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
I
have atrial fibrillation, and I want to fly to North Carolina for Christmas to see my son. He doesn't think it's a good idea, so I'm calling to ask about that.
Mm-hmm. You're going to fly in an airplane, right?
In an airplane.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'll find a broomstick that wants to.
Ah, well, that might be less stress. I don't. All right, what do you think, doctor?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as long as you're routinely following up with your cardiologist and your cardiac electrophysiologist, if you have one, those are the heart rhythm doctors that really treat atrial fibrillation.
I have one, and they've tried to regulate the heartbeat 4 times, so they're done trying that now. And they tell me that they're going to try straightening it out with medication because my system is too weak for a pacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I have cancers. And so the flying to North Carolina has gotten, you know, enlarged in my brain how important it is. And I don't want to risk any more of my health than it is already at risk. So I'm calling to ask that question.
Sure. Thank you. So I think it's very important that you speak with your cardiologist about your heart rate, make sure your heart rate is under control and that you're not feeling too many symptoms from this. And if you're on a good regimen and you're feeling well and you're feeling up to it, I see no reason why you wouldn't be able to make it home for Christmas.
Okay, great.
Linda,
thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Medical Monday today, cardiology with Dr. Sunny Antwala of New Vance Health, that is. Let's go to Jim in Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Jim.
How come you don't hear much about cardiac glycosides anymore?
Okay, great. Cardiac glycosides. So these are medications that were developed a very long time ago, and they helped help control the heart rate and help the heart pump a little bit more. One of those medications is, by the name of it, it's called Digoxin. The reason that we don't use that medication as much anymore is because there's newer medications that have come out, such as, you know, beta blockers and ACE inhibitors. Again, these are a different class of medication with a better side effect profile. So that's why Digoxin and cardiac glycosides are used less and less. However, it is still important in patients with heart failure and, you know, atrial fibrillation, and, you know, that they definitely do have a use within our current standard medical care today, but they're used a lot less than they were back in the day.
Jim, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. I often hear of people who say, well, I can't handle the statins. I take high-potency fish oil. What does the fish oil exactly do?
Sure. So there's been a lot of data over the past, I want to say, 10 to 15 years to figure out whether fish oil has been proven to be beneficial. And some trials are positive, some trials are negative. I think we have mixed data. The guidelines to date don't recommend them as first-line therapy. You know, as one of my mentors always used to say, it's better off the plate than out of a bottle. So I always encourage all of my patients, if they can eat fish, to get it regularly, at least twice a week.
Why is it better off the plate than out of a bottle?
I just think, I think having healthy nutrition is very important. When things are placed into a bottle and fish oil and a lot of vitamins and supplements, these things are unregulated. And so we don't always know what the exact fish oil product that we are getting. So in a market that's unregulated, I think it's very important that we stick to our roots and, you know, eat healthy.
Any of your patients take supplemental fish oil?
They do, and I encourage them to just, you know, if they can't get fish, then fine to you know, get over-the-counter supplements, but I do encourage them to eat fish at least twice a week.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sunny Antwala is our guest, and let's go to Gene in Old Chatham. Hello, Gene. Hello, Gene. Hi, Gene. How you there? Okay, goodbye, Gene. Sorry, Gene, you waited all that time. If Gene calls back, we'll put her on. Let's go to Bob in Schenectady. Bob.
Hi, yes, I have two questions, actually. I have a cholesterol score of 142, HDL is 70, LDL is 58, and I have a calcium score of 134. My doctor wants to put me on statins. What do you think of that? I've resisted it so far.
All right, wonderful. Thank you for calling in. How old are you?
74.
Wonderful.
Yep.
So you have a great cholesterol profile. And again, is that off of statin medication, or are you on one already?
No, I'm not on one. I went on one for a while, and I had some pains in my hands, and I told him I didn't like it, and he put me on a really low dose of Prevastatin. And I seem to have some problems with that, too, so I got off of that. But he keeps, you know, bringing it up. I really should go on it, and, you know.
Tell me how much.
Kinda weird, huh?
Yeah. Listen, you have an excellent cholesterol profile, and the older we get, the more likely we are to die. And what do most what do most old people die from? It's heart disease. Heart disease is a leading cause of death, right? Your calcium score, you know, of 134, greater than 100, puts you at risk, most definitely. So you do have cholesterol and plaque buildup within the blood vessels of your heart. Your LDL cholesterol is at 58. I said we're born with an LDL cholesterol of 35. So your diet and exercise, you're doing wonderful. Now, again, everyone is different. I have some of my patients are 74, and, you know, they act like they're 50. They still exercise. They do all of this. I do not treat my patients any differently. You're at an increased risk. Do you have diabetes?
No, I don't. I have osteoporosis, and I was taking a lot of calcium at the time just before I had this test done, and I'm wondering if that could have, you know, been part of the buildup of the calcium in my arteries.
No.
I have since stopped taking that.
No. That has nothing to do with your calcium score. So your calcium score of 134, they probably gave you, they should have given you a percentile. If you're greater than 100, that is you're at increased risk. And so I think having a discussion with your cardiologist is very important at this point.
Right.
If you came to my clinic, we would talk about it together and say, let's try the Prevastatin. Let's try a low dose.
Right.
And if you gave me a lot of pushback, I would say, okay, let's just continue exercise and diet, and we'll follow you yearly.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sunny Antwala is our guest. Now, Bob was a relatively young man. But as a doctor, somebody 85, 86 years old, 90 years old, let's say, cholesterol's high. I mean, isn't it gravy time at that point? Just say, hey, listen, have some butter, relax. I mean, you are eventually going to go.
That's a great question. So I actually wrote a paper on the statins in the elderly. I think it is important to take a look at the patient as a whole. Is the patient going to benefit from this? Adding another medication on when they're already taking 20 different medications. What is the patient's status? So if someone's 90 and, again, they're very active, they work out, they go to the gym, I'm going to treat them like they're 50.
Now, does anybody 90 go to the gym?
Yes. A lot of people that are 90. Sheesh. A lot of my patients go to the gym when they're 90.
And they still come back.
Yeah, they still come back. It's because I bug them all the time to go to the gym.
That's great.
I think it's important to pay attention to the patient. Now, there are some patients that are coming in from nursing homes and they have dementia and they're on 20 different medications. Is that the right medication for the patient? I would say no, and I usually, you know, take it off. If they have cancer and, you know, they're fighting an ailment and they have 6 months left to live, you know, again, I try to scale back when medications are not needed.
Yeah. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sunny Antwala of New Vance Health is with us today. Arthur in Pauling. Arthur, you're on.
Yes, I would like to know what the doctor's opinion is of first attempting chelation therapy rather than surgery or statin drugs in order to cure heart disease and high cholesterol.
Chelation.
Chelation therapy.
Right.
Which
doctor.
Has been very
yes.
effective in my instance.
When did you have chelation therapy?
In 2012.
And was chelation therapy, you know, getting rid of cholesterol very fast in your body, it can be used in certain circumstances, but there hasn't been randomized control evidence trials suggesting
yes,
that.
There
for,
has
for,
been. For, yes, there has.
All right, let's not.
Ignored.
Right.
I hate to disagree with the doctor, but
no.
I must do so.
So, sorry, I didn't get to finish. So, in very specific instances, yes, it is definitely beneficial. I don't know your cholesterol profile. I don't know what exactly happened when you were treated at the hospital. And I do take, chelation therapy is reserved for a very specific patient population, mm-hmm. and so I can't broadly recommend that.
What,
to all
what
of
population would that be?
So
you, Arthur, you.
Yeah, I know. Who else?
Again, I would have to look at your cholesterol profile and make sure that, I'm not sure what led to your hospitalization and what was happening during that time. And it's something that a specialist like me would have to really evaluate and make sure it's the right treatment before I, you know, if you're, let's say your triglycerides were over 1,000 and you're in the hospital, you're fighting off pancreatitis.
And what is it that chelation does?
It removes the fats and cholesterol from your body, and so if
why
you
would
to,
that be a bad thing?
So sometimes when you have a lot of cholesterol fats building up in your body, it's not good. It makes the blood viscous, and it can lead to other issues such as pancreatitis, inflammation of the
right.
pancreas, and things like that, where you get admitted to the hospital. And if these need to be treated, chelation could be beneficial.
Why now, would it be bad though? In other words. I don't know what chelation is. I've never had chelation, but I like to say chelation. why could that be a bad thing if it works?
I mean, so you're causing rapid shifts. There has not been good enough randomized control evidence trial to suggest doing that in all comers.
Is there ongoing research and trial on this?
There's not a large randomized controlled trial that I know of, but I know there are some small trials underway.
Dr. Sunny Antwala is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Tom and Gardner, you're on.
Yes. What's the latest research on trying to reverse the plaque in the arteries? What's the latest research, if any?
Sure. That's a wonderful question. The medications that we have, statin medications, PCSK9 inhibitors, we've all looked at this and trying to see if there's plaque regression. And there's no good evidence to suggest that there is anything to reverse the plaque that already deposits in the blood vessels of your heart. Now, there are these anecdotal, trials or case studies that have been published where, you know, someone starts a vegetarian or vegan diet and their, you know, their cholesterol plaque that was there before is not there now. But there's nothing that has shown consistently that statins or PCSK9 inhibitors, more advanced form of a cholesterol medication, reverses the deposition of these plaques within your heart.
Tom, thanks for the call. Now, you know, in plumbing, if my kitchen sink is running slowly, we can either put Drano in it or we can use a snake. Now, why is it we can't bypass a section of artery and just snake it out?
Oh, that's a great question. So, whenever you introduce anything foreign into the blood vessels of the body, what can happen is if you scrape anything, your body is going to react to that. And that could lead to, you know, more inflammation, therefore more plaque buildup, and it could be a potential avalanche. All you need is a small amount to flick a small amount of this cholesterol or plaque, and that could result in a heart attack.
All right. Well, we'll scratch that one from the list. 800-348-2551. Is our telephone number. It is Medical Monday. Dr. Sonny Ntwala is here. We'll be back. Fox Pop, Medical Monday, Ray Graff with you. The number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sonny Ntwala of New Vance Health is with us today. And one email here, and then we'll jump back to the phones, doctor, for the home stretch. This one's from Alice, and Alice wants to know about triglycerides. Alice writes, could you explain triglycerides in general, what they are, and their relationship to cholesterol? My HDL's good, LDL not bad, triglycerides are high. Are statins used in this case? And that's from Alice.
All right. Hi, Alice. Thank you for joining us today. So your triglycerides are the amount of fats that you consume. So, you know, we eat a fatty meal. Basically, the fats and cholesterol are extracted. They go to the liver, and then they float around in our bloodstream. The more fats that you have, the more, the more cholesterol deposits that can build up in the three blood vessels that supply your heart. Now, what are the treatment options for this? Again, exercise and diet, number one, right? So make sure you're eating a heart-healthy diet and making sure you're exercising. Medications. Now, if your triglycerides are very elevated, one of the things that you could start off with is a fibrate medication. And again, that reduces reduces your triglycerides, and that is one medication. The other medication, you mentioned your LDL was high. And so
not bad, I think she said.
Not bad. Excuse me.
She said HDL is good, LDL not bad.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for that. So I would start with a fibrate medication to see if that lowers your triglycerides, again, in conjunction with exercise and diet.
What is a fibrate medication?
So, there's a few different fibrates, and they interfere with the cholesterol absorption within the body. So when you're ingesting fats, they decrease the amount that goes to your liver and decreases your triglycerides.
That sounds pretty good. What are the most common side effects?
So you can have abdominal pain, nausea from that. Those are some of the main side effects.
Nothing terrible? Your liver won't fall out or anything?
No.
Our guest today is Dr. Sonny Ntwala of New Vance Health. Our number is 800-348-2551 on this Medical Monday. And looks like Donna in Colony. Donna, you're next.
Hi. My question is pretty similar to the email you just spoke about. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what specifically in the diet should I be avoiding, because my cholesterol seems to be normal but on the high side of normal.
All right, great. Thank you so much for calling in. So you want to limit your saturated fats, your trans fats, and cholesterol, you know, again, from meats, butter, and dairy. That's what you should be paying attention to.
Okay. Is there anything else besides exercise and diet I could do to keep it in check a little bit more?
I think with the exercise and diet, you should be able to, you know, again, if you're high normal, I think you should see significant changes.
Would you need medication at 200 if your cholesterol is, the number is 200?
Again, I think that's a great question. I think so. Having a conversation with your doctor, and they can calculate your 10-year risk through the the American College of Cardiology has created a great application where your doctor can input your data and give you a personalized risk assessment.
Yeah.
What is your risk over 10 years of having a heart event? And from there, you guys can, talk together to figure out if you need to be on treatment.
Okay, Donna, thanks for the call. This 10-year prediction. You've heard garbage in, garbage out. do explain to me how one reaches such a nebulous number.
Oh, great. So, the 10-year risk was based on the Framingham study. So the Framingham study, there was Framingham, Massachusetts. There was a community where physicians were and doctors were allowed to collect data on family members over generations. Okay. And so from that, we were able to extrapolate what happens to patients and their cholesterol levels when they get heart attacks, et cetera.
Yeah.
We extracted a lot of information from there. And then, from that, we were able to generate a calculator. What's your risk? The 2013 guidelines updated these pooled cohort equations. So basically, complicated equation in the background, but they updated the information from the patients that came in, right? Not only from the Framingham study, from other different studies that included African Americans and Asians and other populations.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that they also included stroke into the equation, and they found that if in 2019, if a patient shows up to my clinic and I input this data, this is a validated formula, which has been externally validated. One of my mentors, Dal Lloyd-Jones, helped create this.
Okay.
And so this is a marker and a great way to start off the conversation with a patient. The 10-year risk and then also the lifetime risk, right? What is your risk in 10 years of having a heart event?
Well, if you have a good heart event, 10 years is the lifetime, right?
Yes.
I have trouble dealing with this because if it doesn't happen, say you have a 25% risk of a major heart event in 10 years. If it doesn't happen, this study is still right. Because it was only a 25% chance. I don't get how you can put a number like that on anything.
Sure, I think
you can't predict the future, can you?
So I think with a certain degree of certainty. You can say the older you get, the more likely you are to die from something, and heart disease is the number one cause.
Okay.
The more risk factors that you have, diabetes, high cholesterol, plaque and build up in your arteries, your legs, the more risk that is that you're going to perhaps have a heart event.
Right.
And so that suggests to me a conversation. What can we do to lower that event? So if I tell you, if you come to my clinic and you say, and we put in the numbers together and your percentage comes to 30%, which is very high. Well, let's get you to exercise, diet, take the cholesterol medication, take aspirin perhaps if you need it, to reduce your risk from maybe 30% to 15%.
So is this really just to scare the patients into doing something?
I don't think it's to scare the patient. I think it's to give the patient knowledge about their own health.
Dr. Sonny Ntwala is our guest today. The number is 800-348-2551. Mike in East Hampton. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, how do you do? Hey, I'm 64 years old, and last year I was bike riding. I was going for 2,000 miles in 1 year. I took him on July last year. I was starting to feel tired, and because I'm a vet and I go to the VA in Northampton, I was complaining to my primary care. They took blood tests. All the results were good. August 15th, I had a heart attack and died. Revived me with CPR and a bike trail. They got me to a base day where I died. They revived me, coma for 20 hours. After all of that, I developed a blood infection, but that's beside the point. So when I did this test, when I could finally walk again, they said they didn't know really why I had a heart attack. One technician, where I did a nuclear stress test, she said she had patients, an elite group of athletes, because I was 5'8", 148 pounds, I ate correctly, I don't really like meat, etc. She said that the heart is like a muscle and it exercises, and the artery also stretches and contracts, and it creates scar tissue like callus on your hands, and it closes off. And she said, I bet you had one stent. And I said, yes. And then she said, and then she explained more, but I don't remember, and I didn't understand, and it was at the end of the appointment.
Okay.
Do you know more about that?
Well, one of your expert fields is sports cardiology, so maybe this is something you can address.
Sure.
Well, I did all that because it was August 15th last year, and I got out February 1st, and I've been checked on. And none of the doctors I've talked to really explain that. They instantly go to diet, that exercise.
Okay.
Well, I exercised, and I
right.
did. But they kind of avoided that. So I never really had a real explanation why I had a heart attack.
Understood.
Yes. Thank you for calling in, Mike, and thank you for your service to our country. You had a heart attack a year ago, and it's great that you were biking and doing all these activities. And you had a nuclear stress test. I'm not exactly sure.
Explanation that the doctor gave about scar tissue, as you build muscles, basically you're ripping muscles, and so that.
Well, it's all right. Light impact. I always stay light impact.
Sure.
I know I don't lift 100 pounds. I don't even lift weights. I just rode bicycles. And if I had to go anywhere, I would jog to the store or I would from the parking lot.
All right.
Because I didn't like walking.
Sure. So when you exercise, your heart definitely adapts and there's different changes to your heart. Some of them are normal. Some of them are abnormal. But I think in your case, what happened is you had a heart attack. That heart attack led to perhaps blockages, so it led to a blockage in one part of your muscle. What happens when you have a blockage to one part of the muscle is the muscle then gets injured, and from that you can have scar tissue. That scar tissue can set up a bad heart rhythm, okay, and that may have affected you in that case. And so what happens is your heart has an electrical system within it, and the scar tissue affects that, and you could have potentially had a heart event from that scar tissue.
Okay.
Without knowing more details about your specific history, I really can't give you any more information.
That's pretty impressive, though, for not having Mike as a patient. All right. Well done, Dr. Sonny Antwala. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And now let's go to, looks like, Franny in Copaig. Franny.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 73 now and relatively healthy, and my LDL is my HDL is very high, and my LDL is slightly high, like 130, 149, but my cardiac risk is, I had that test, and I think it was 0 or 1. They did it just because I have a benign heart murmur, and I don't really have any cardiac risk factors, and I do exercise moderate, by walking and yoga. So my doctor doesn't think I need to take a statin, even though my total cholesterol is, high because my HDL is high, and that just makes my LDL slightly high. And my triglycerides are normal, and I haven't had meat in 40 years. I have fish and a little bit of dairy, not much.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you, Franny, for calling in. So I think your lipid profile looks great. The LDL could be a little bit better, of course. And with your, I think you had a coronary artery calcium score. Was 0 or 1?
Yeah, because I had a murmur and they kind of worked it up, even though they thought I was a benign murmur. So every test I had came out normal, including the stress test and all that.
Okay, that's wonderful and great to hear. So I think with exercise and diet, you should be able to, again, with a coronary artery calcium score of 0 or 1, that's great for the short term, which is wonderful for you. And in that case, I would just continue exercise and diet. And when you went to your doctor, it's more of a shared decision. You guys talk about the benefits and the risk of starting statin therapy. Again, the lower your LDL cholesterol, the better for you in the future. But again, with a coronary artery calcium score that's 0, that would suggest that you don't absolutely need to start taking statin.
All right, Franny, thanks for the call. Our number here, 800-348-2551. And let's go to Laura in Sunderland. Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Ray, thank you so much. And you're asking great questions, and thank you, Dr. Antwala.
Thank you.
I have a kind of bizarre cholesterol profile in which my total cholesterol is 272, but it's all HDLs. It can be as high as 225.
So the HDL is the good stuff, doctor?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've not been able to get a recommendation as to if that extreme high HDL confers some danger. Mm-hmm. I have a strong family history of dementia, but not of heart disease. My LDLs are 81. I primarily eat fish and vegetables.
Thank you so much, Laura, for calling in. And it's a great point that you bring up, you know, an HDL level. HDL is the good cholesterol.
Why
right?
is it good?
So, in the 80s and 90s, a lot of physicians were recommending niacin, which artificially increases your HDL levels. And they found over several years that artificially raising your HDL levels with a medication did not reduce significant events, cardiac events, and it's LDL that we should be focusing on. But outside
then
of that,
why is it good?
So my HDL is just spontaneously
high. Yes, really high. So HDL serves to remove cholesterol from your bloodstream, which is good.
Okay.
Now, greater than 40 is good. Greater than 60 is great. But what people don't know, and a lot of physicians don't know this either, is having a high HDL actually confers a higher risk. And it suggests that you might have increased risk or a lipid disorder that we don't exactly know what that is and the exact mechanism by which these patients with high HDL levels. And what do I mean by high? Greater than 90.
Okay.
You know, there's no, again, there's not a lot of studies focusing exactly on this. They are underway. But if you have a high HDL level, like in your case, I would suggest talking to your doctor about other tests like lipoprotein A, basically another marker to see what risk you are in the future and to see if you may benefit from potential therapy.
And so I've talked to my primary care mm-hmm. and my cardiologist, uh-huh. and they don't, just because I'm a physician myself, and I can talk to all of these people, and none of them have a recommendation. So
sure.
Maybe talking to your clinic
yes.
would be an idea.
Have you heard of HDL being that high ever
yes.
in the 220s?
I believe, was your HDL in the 220s?
225.
225. That is extremely high. That is probably
right.
one of the.
I know.
Yeah, that is one of the highest HDLs that I've seen. So if you come to my clinic, I'm happy to see you, or I can recommend someone in your area. Just email in, and we can set up an appointment.
Wow, that's an interesting call. I mean, you've never heard or you may not have heard of anything that high as far as an HDL level. Does that concern you right away?
It suggests to me that, a patient showing up to my clinic may be at higher risk and that they may
of
have...
Of what?
Of having heart disease and potential heart attack.
Even though the bad cholesterol is okay. In fact, pretty good.
Correct.
Amazing. Laura, thank you for the call, and a very interesting one to end our program today. Dr. Sunny and Twala, how do people find out more about Nuvance?
All right, wonderful. So you can just Google Nuvance and
well, you better spell it then, because it's not spelled like new.
It's Nuvance. And my name is Dr. Sunny Ntwala. I practice at the Heart Center at 1 Columbia Street in Poughkeepsie. So I'm happy to see anyone in my clinic to talk more about statins and cholesterol and prevention.
And this was your first time on the show?
First time.
Well done, sir.
Thank you
for being here. Support comes from Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the Capital Region, practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, ACTSURG.com. I got through the URL. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Joe Makowicz took the calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for being with us today. Bob Scott and David Tripp return to the studio tomorrow at 2 to answer your stamp and coin questions. Right now, stand by for the Media Project.